This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Protection Association, April board meeting.
Beautiful.
Okay, Roger needs to go, and so we're going to go outside the agenda here real quick and get the fire chief's report. Better than having it
Okay, thanks for the accommodation for this. So it's a very long report this month, so I'll just go through it. We have two medical calls and two smoke investigations for calls. Yavapai County Wildland Group, looks like this year we're not going to be able to participate in it. Long story short, there are many fire line hours required to be an engine boss trainee. There's no mechanism currently in place to facilitate these prerequisites. The positive aspect here is next summer there's going to be a glut of engine bosses here. Other people from other departments participate in this, and so I think, or I'm hopeful that the way this will evolve is that it'll be much easier for us to borrow an engine boss to go out on incidents. If there was anything in the way before, it is now just nailed down to this issue of engine boss. So that's very encouraging. Fleet, as discussed last month, Patrol 83 is now at my house as a command vehicle until the rainy season starts, and that's contingent on my getting reappointed by the new board. If my wife and I build a garage, then it can stay up longer if I'm still in this position. Training, we had 12 passed the PAC test so far, and we've got quite a few more scheduled to take it on April 27th. We also held the Fireline Refresher, which is an annual requirement for our red card. PAWIC, the important thing from PAWIC, the PAWIC meeting, is that the Forest Service towers are going to start, they've started being manned this past Wednesday, or whenever April 10th was. So if there's an incident that we're responding to, we'll be able to get help from them that, you know, at times have made things much easier for us. Facilities, no report. Basin Ops Group, the drill was held here on March 29th. It was both a simulation of the Northern Arizona Type 3 Incident Management Team and an interagency wildland training opportunity. There were about 15 departments here, including the Forest Service. So if there's the, you know, I wanted to have that held here for the very specific reason if we ever have something that's a large-scale incident. For a lot of these folks, it won't be their first time here. They have some general understanding of what's going on. So that would be a huge help. Western Yavapai Chiefs Association. This is getting up and running slowly. I'm the vice president, which is just a title, but it means, you know, we'll be involved with the organization. So that's a positive. The Greater Yavapai Purchasing Consortium. I sent you a copy of the contract. I've not heard back yet on the questions I had that were in the contract related to item 5.3, which was, let's see if I can remember, 5.3 was, I'll get back to that one, 5.8, 5.81, 5.82, these were about how they're paid. At first, they gave an example of the Suttons, $40 regularly, they can get it for $30, they would charge $35. What these two say is that for something that is a greater than $1,000 an order, they will add a 5% markup. For an order that is less than $1,000, they will add a 10% markup. So I'm not sure if this replaces the other concept of splitting, essentially splitting 50-50 the savings. 5.3 was... we need to provide them a list of our intended purchases for the coming year. I think that's every March. My question on that, and I made this point in the presentation, is given how lumpy our purchase habits are, I don't know that we, you know, we can be accurate. So that's that. There was no mention in the contract of exclusivity, so I take that to mean there isn't any, but I want to make sure. There was no mention about a cost to join, so I take that to mean, true to their word, there is no cost to join, but I want to make sure. Next issue, AEDs. It appears as though we're having two AEDs donated to the department. Steve, this is slightly different than how it played out before. Basically, I had to draft a letter asking the Pulmonary Foundation for a grant for $4,100 to cover two specific AED models which I did. I mean, it was a very simple, informal thing that they needed. He said as soon as they got it, they would turn a check around to us. This is great if it happens. You know, I'm a Red Sox fan, so it happens when it happens, not before. But it should be a $4,100 check for the purchase of two AEDs. One would go up in the substation on that vehicle, and then for now the intention is that the other one would go on the structure truck. And the person, our point of contact, Dr. Kravitz, has kind of given the impression that there's more to be had with these people. They want to get more involved with helping volunteer fire departments. And just to give you an idea of their interest, next week is the Wildland Fire Expo. Last year, they had an antique truck, this foundation, that these guys got together and restored. So they're very into fire-related things. So I think there's promise here, but, you know, again, until it happens, it hasn't happened. But I'm encouraged. Paramedic update. Steve Nathanson's done most of the work here. Where we are now is we believe we could get more than half of the shifts covered with paramedics. If it's all of them, that's great. But, I mean, what the thing behind the thing here is someone wanting to come here on a Saturday or a Sunday and spend the day out here. And so there's a very reasonable chance of getting most of the shifts covered. I don't know that I can set an expectation of all of them. The one issue that we're still waiting on is being able to access a drug box. Since our department does not have one, we don't lease one from the hospital as the other departments do. However, the medical director, that's a common term, he's the decision maker at the hospital, Dr. Lempe, he's conceptually on board with leasing us a drug box. So that's good. There's a couple of maybe procedural is what you would call them, procedural things he needs to wrap up before we can be issued a drug box. It would be under Steve's watch. And, you know, the reason why it seems as though this could happen, and I think it's going to happen, but we'll see, is Steve's relationship with Dr. Lempe, knowing Steve's career as a pharmacist. I think it might be a different story if we were just knocking on the door. You know, there's a couple of things in here that kind of stress long-term relationships, and Steve's relationship with the hospital is certainly one of them if this is going to happen. In terms of cost, I think I can set a reasonable expectation pretty close of $19 an hour, which works out to about $5.50 more per hour than what we're paying the firefighters. So to be clear, when a paramedic wants the shift, it would be one Walker firefighter at what I think is $13.64, but whatever the figure, that's close, and then one paramedic at $19 an hour. So if my math is right off the top, I think that works out somewhere between an extra $800 and $1,000 for the fire season. The last meeting, it seemed like conceptually there wasn't opposition to this, but if there is, then you guys can vote on whether or not to proceed, but those are the dollars involved. Firefighter counseling, this is something Bill asked me to look into ages ago, and this is kind of, I guess, just a status update. He was concerned about PTSD in the fire service. This is referred to as CISM, Critical Incident Stress Management. There are counselors available. I talked to Groom Creek. They have, coincidentally, someone in their area who is a retiree who lived there. She's got, I think he said 20 years, but whatever. This was her job. So that he thinks this is a resource we could call upon. We may want to see about reaching out to the community and see if anyone who lives here is trained in this. But so that, you know, that's the status of the report. Water use agreements is the last thing I have on this long report. I emailed everyone who expressed an interest in lending their water to the department. We had I don't know if contract is the best word, but Greg kind of spearheaded drawing up some legal paperwork that went out. I've only heard back from one guy who said he sold his property and that he would forward. So here's one back from Todd. Okay, so one other guy said he sold his property. Greg, you had already submitted one, so we'll wait for these to come in. And then the next step, once we get a reasonable sample back, is if we're going to ask them to do anything with the plumbing of their water tank. That's all I got. I realized I was talking very fast.
That's great.
Feel free to fire any questions that I missed.
One question.
Turn it on.
800 with $1 million for a paramedic to ride on. Is that for covering half the ships, or is that basically if we were to cover all ships?
I mean, that's just quick math in my head. That would be
okay.
All ships.
Okay, cool. I think that's a bargain.
Turn it on.
Okay, so, and I have one on the water use agreement. I think you touched on it on the end, because I've had a couple of people go, okay, how, are you sucking it out? Are you taking it out by valve? It's the valve. Who puts it on? Do I have to pay for it? And did we resolve this issue?
The short answer is no. We haven't resolved it. A tank with no plumbing on it, it can be sucked out of. That takes more time. You know, so if anyone is willing to, like we had one person who was willing to pay for the plumbing, and, you know, they've got a 2.5-inch valve on the bottom of their water tank that's compatible with our stuff. If people want to do that, great. It means faster access. Otherwise, we can suck out of their water tank.
Yeah, I think that was where I was going with it, because I wasn't sure that it was quicker, slower to suck it out. And I think you, Greg, you had
did you pay for that valve that you put on your tank?
No. That's when they were giving them out. I think it was Butt came by and configured it.
Because I'm guessing that a lot of these tanks, plastic, they may be like the one that you have. You can get through them to the top. Some of them have metal tanks. There's no access whatsoever. So actually putting a fitting on could become a problem for some of the people.
Yeah.
Do you have any blank agreements?
I've got them on my computer. Do you want me to? What do you ask me to do?
Well, I'm just going to fill out one.
Can I just email it to you?
Old-fashioned one.
Here's what we're going to go ahead and do with that. We've got with Chris, the webmaster, the form, and then also a letter. I think Glenn was asking Chuck, you know, where do I send it? What do I do with it? And that's, none of that's on that form. So we're posting an instruction sheet plus that form in the website. Should be in there Tuesday or Wednesday. So you can just download it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's mostly there. If you're going to email it, you got to scan it. It's not a fillable form online.
When you got to sign in.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions for Roger? I have a couple of questions. on the drug box, is that going to require that we end up with put this alarm back in the monitored alarm?
I'll be the keeper of the drug box.
Okay, so the drug box will be at your place?
Yes.
Okay.
My place, because I'm going to have to turn it over to the paramedic. He's going to have to sign for it. And has to be responsible for all narcotics and other legend drugs that are in there, and there's only a few that they carry in. We will also get a report back from the hospital because they have to record it by lot number in case there's a recall on a particular drug. I am responsible for it. I'll have to get some locks that are very inexpensive that we have to change on each ship. They're going to have to log into what drugs that they use.
Okay. All right. If it was going to be stored here, we would probably need to have a better, because there's too much access to this room. Okay, the firefighter counseling, the stress thing, I think that's great. It's not just a matter of waiting until somebody exhibits or asks for help. I think that when you have an incident like when you had the dead body and other traumatic incidents, we need to have a policy that says you go and talk to this person or somebody that we've picked out that will and make it a requirement so that they don't, you know, everybody says, oh, no, I'm not bothered by that, and then they walk away, and you don't know for 4 or 5 years that it really was an issue. But it's an important thing that can ruin people's lives.
Is there anything in there about board member stress management?
living life. Okay, Roger, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Good job.
Is there a fire?
No,
he's late. Okay. For the agenda, we've already modified the agenda. I wasn't sure what kind of response you would have for the EPA, for an EPA discussion, so if we could move that to the end and conduct other business before that. Other than that, is there any changes to the agenda as presented? All right, I have a motion to approve the agenda.
Oh, my God. Greg Sava moves.
Chuck seconds, I take it?
I got really boxed out.
Any discussion about the agenda? All in favor? All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Public comment, any public comments, questions from anybody have anything to say before we start?
Do we have to vote?
You don't have to vote.
Acceptance of the EMS project that was laid out before you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Okay, your question is?
The question is, the plan that I've worked on and Roger worked on, is it necessary for the board to vote for that particular?
I thought we did that last week, last month.
No, we voted to move forward.
To move forward, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And now we're forward.
All incremental.
Okay.
All right. Slow by slow.
Timmy, do you want to speak now or do you want to speak during the time when your art show thing is on the agenda?
Oh, I'll wait, whatever you want.
Okay. Glenn?
I have the same concern with Phil.
Okay.
So Steve, I wanted to see something.
Okay. Anybody else before we start? Okay, President's report. We just have things are moving along. We're getting ready to have the election. We need candidates for the board. We have a couple. I think one, well, other than Vic and John, the incumbents so I think the agenda covers the issues that I want to talk about. Secretary's report. Russ is not here. He's in Dayton, Ohio. And he had his minutes as submitted before. He did have a little couple of paragraphs here that he gave us. Can I find those paragraphs? I think you have them.
There's a certain
one. Yeah, okay. Okay, it says the minutes have been posted from the March 13th meeting to the website. He supplied a clean version of the county. He has Sublette County for the data for the dues letter mailing, and he hasn't sent that forward again for the dues letter, but I guess you guys can communicate with him about what that is, what he needs to do with that. And there are some returns from the dues letter mailing. And like he says, he's applied similar data in preparation for the newsletter mailing. So, a motion to accept his minutes as good.
Awesome.
Action. Chuck moves. 6 seconds. And since he's not here, who's taking notes? I guess I'm taking notes.
Of course.
Yeah.
You have a lot of experience in it.
Did you have the president's report?
We did have the president's report.
I missed that.
Two sentences, yeah. It says, read the agenda.
I missed that completely.
Treasurer's report.
Well, I think everybody knows that the dues letter has gone out, albeit a couple of weeks late. It's been out just a little over a week now, and we have, we're actually doing fairly well. Let me just go over the numbers today. This is month 10 of 12. Our contributions through March are behind budget by $8,000. And that's before we go into our major campaign, which we're in right now. Not to bore you with all the math, but we need to raise in the next 2.5 months our fiscal year $62,000 to balance our budget.
52 more.
But that's not unusual because the bulk of our money comes in one slug and it's coming in right now. But so our budget's only as good as what people donate is the bottom line. It's interesting though, we're behind in contributions. You know, we've gotten grants in, we got state reimbursements in. We've not had some expenses that we anticipated. So though we're $8,000 behind contributions, the year to date, we're $8,000 ahead of our budget. But none of this means anything if we don't make our capital campaign work, not capital campaign, but our dues drive work. I mean, that's really the bottom line. So I'm hoping that happens. And that's it. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Are we paying
dues or are these donations?
You know, frankly, Greg and I have had this conversation. I call them contributions because I don't really give a damn what they are. I mean, it's money coming in.
Okay,
and unless they are earmarked for something special, it's a contribution. As a matter of fact, if you look at the financials, it just says contributions. So to date, we have raised $29,370, but we budgeted, like I said, $37,000. Now, having said all this, we had to raise our sights to balance the budget to begin with. So spread the word out there. Get your checkbooks out, okay?
Okay. All right, any other questions for Rick? Motion to accept the Treasury's report.
Motion.
Johnny O. Moves. 2 seconds.
Behind already.
7 seconds. Any other discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Fire Chief report, you already did. Committee reports. Do you have any committee reports? Firewise, do you have anything happening?
Yes, we do, and I'd like to talk about that when we get to the EPA, if I could, because there's a, it's a, I'd just like to talk about it at a later time. We have plans for Firewise, and it's going to involve a dumpster for leaves and needles, free disposal. And where that's going to be at, we're just not sure yet. And we also have a plan to bring the grinder in here on the 20th of May. We're going to be starting to load up again our area over here along the creek bank with logs, slash, and anything that can be ground up. We are already in the process of getting the contract done with the grinder for the county. It was a rather long, arduous process. So we're planning to move ahead from about, I think we're going to have the dumpster ordered for the needles on the 19th this month, and it should be here from then on until we fill it, and we need another one, we'll fill that. And same thing with the slash, we'll be starting to pick that up at the week of the 20th and move until about end of the week of the May 13th, I think it is. When, by the way, we did attend the Powers meeting last week, and we have a really wonderful group of Firewise communities in Yavapai County, and I think there are something like 49 or communities that they just assigned 10 more, and it's a thing that's catching on quite a bit. We have a new president, Powick, and T.J. Caffey, who is a former businesswoman who's running that thing like a top. I was there. I was totally surprised. She's got everything just boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, and it's doing very, very well. So, and there's a good possibility that there's some monies outstanding, 50-50 monies from 2009-2010, could be in the amount of $300,000. That not too many communities can use, and we can. So there's an awful good possibility we might have some 50-50 money. Lauren's working on a grant right now with the Forest Service to try and get that thing cleaned up. And then another grant coming for the Forest Service. So there could be quite a bit of money coming in. This 50-50 money would be to clean anything. It doesn't have to be around your house, clean bare land, old logs, then down. I mean, you get 50% reimbursement. So looking like that might be good.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Looking at the agenda, Tammy, I don't see that I have you in here in the old business or new business, so why don't you act as a committee and tell us what's going on with the art show?
Okay. Well, we set the date for August.
Tammy, you want to go?
Yeah,
well, I can.
This way it's recorded.
I just...
It's recorded.
Okay.
It's official.
I wanted to give everybody...
Have a seat. Join us.
A copy of the contract. What I did was I took the contract...
Okay, turn it on.
That... That would help. I took the contract that I've used in some other functions, and I just kind of tweaked it. We, after speaking with John, because he's been helping us.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, nice.
Oh, he gave me one. Never mind.
Thank you. What I found out, which is very interesting from the city of Prescott, we're already on the calendar for Prescott. It's going to be called the Walker Mountain Art Market.
Wow.
Here, in the grass area. SRP already has donated the marking paint stuff, and Bob and I are going to come down and measure everything out to make sure of how we're going to set up the little booth. Every vendor is responsible for their own, you know, easy up or whatever. However, we did put on here that they can rent tables from the fire department if they so choose. One of the things that was added afterwards is finding out about the taxes that somebody would have to pay. A lot of people, if they've done art shows, have a privileged tax license from the Prescott area. With this in mind, however, this is a nonprofit. So their tax code, after talking with the tax people here, is a $25 flat fee. So nobody individually has to, like myself, I'm going to be selling items. I don't have to go and get a privilege license. All I have to do is pay a $25 flat fee, which, because this is a nonprofit, will be submitted under that, the nonprofit name of the fire department. If somebody already has a privilege tax and has done art markets like you, John, then you go ahead and take care of it. They take care of it on their own. They already know how to do their own thing.
Is that each vendor?
Each vendor pays $25 flat fee. It goes to the city of Prescott.
Okay. Why would it go to the city of Prescott rather than the county, Yavapai County?
It's Yavapai County. I'm sorry.
Okay, Yavapai County?
The
okay.
tax money goes to Yavapai
okay.
County. I'm working through
that. That's in lieu of maintaining a record for sales tax.
Yes. They don't have to do anything at the flat fee except if the person, for instance, is selling information. Like I was going to email Sharon. If she wants to have a booth to sell that she is a realtor in the area and shows what properties, because that's one of the goals too with this, is to get more people here and interested in some of these vacant properties around here. If she wants to do that because it's information, she doesn't have to pay a tax. So if anybody is selling information like history on Walker or there's no tax included, and if somebody is only selling their own designed art, there is no tax. They don't have to pay. The code, I wrote it out in the contract. I just copied it verbatim. Other than that, the booth, we did it on the very inexpensive side to see how this goes the first year. And if it's great, we can raise the booth because it is very inexpensive. It's $35 for a 10x10 space and then $45 for a 10x15 space.
Are these professional artists?
I'm not a professional artist. It can be anybody, but we want to make sure it's not garage sale items.
How do you figure that you're going to make any money?
Well, we're planning on 30. I already have 6 people. We're capping it at 30, which would make all the profits, which would be just over $1,000. All the costs for renting the tables and the space comes to the fire department.
Okay, I see. It's a different thing. It's not really an art show.
Yeah, it
would be craft.
Art and craft. It's just like down in Prescott when they have an art show, their booths are $300 a pop in the little... They're in the little square. They're very expensive. So we want to make sure anybody that is selling art here covers their expenses and has a great day in Walker. So if we get a great turnout, we already have it on the calendar in Prescott. I'll be putting it in the little coffee table flyer thing and also the local newspaper and on Craigslist. So if we get a great turnout and they do sell, next year we'll up it to $80 a space, you know, depending on what kind, just to make sure the artist can make a profit and have a nice day.
Or leave the same and invite more people to come, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about food? That is going to be the Walker Fire Department is only going to be the only food vendor unless somebody is selling food items.
Okay,
like,
that's excellent. Got you there.
Like,
this other stuff is not going to make any money. You understand that?
Not much.
But you're really nuts because you're going to have expenses. You've got to.
Well, the only expense that we should have, because the rest of it we want to volunteer to, you know, mark the cages and everything, the only expense we should have is the rental of a porta potty.
You've got insurance.
Insurance is covered.
And maybe
they pay their own.
Maybe.
They don't pay their own insurance.
Maybe later.
Right.
We figure our expenses are going to be $150.
Right.
Pops.
And
yeah.
Okay. Say it's $300-$400 if any kind of emergency comes up.
Sure.
You've got to do it. And then where you're going to make your money is the food.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The only vendors. Now I have had a call from one vendor of kettle corn. Now if it's a food item like that or a person selling, another person called me and started asking they sell. Oils and vinegars and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
That's fine. But the only food seller of edible food at the will
immediate
be the
consumption.
Yes, it
right.
will be the fire department.
Okay. That's okay. It is what it is. We're going to have an art show, and whether we make any money or not, we'll find out at the end of it. The kettle corn is fine. When we have kettle corn sitting right next to us when we do our Kiwanis burgers and hot dogs. They do well, we do well.
Right.
They are not somebody that competes with us because we don't put out popcorn.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had one call from a hot dog vendor, and I said, no, we've already got the food cut.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Good.
Any other questions for Timmy from the board in terms of, it looks like John's been working with her about what we need to do in terms of insurance. This is just something you're doing. I think we're going to be able to do this without having to move the trucks out and keep the apron clean. Are you
right.
you going to try to keep the apron clear?
Yes.
We'll move some trucks out to keep people from parking there.
Yeah. We're going to take the grass area. We're trying to limit it to 30. After we measure everything out, we'll know for sure. And it'll be nice. It'll be under the trees and things like that. The only thing I put in here is that the chief can call it for weather or emergency or something
okay.
like that, and
we'll
just reschedule.
Okay, good. Good point. All right, Tammy, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. One more thing on the FireWise. We are planning a FireWise day here at the station on the 15th of June.
Okay,
so,
you have a FireWise day on the 16th of June?
We're looking to, the fire department does have some tents, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. So we may.
Okay. So Chuck, what are you saying that you're going to have an education day here
yes.
at the fire department? And you want tents rather than moving inside? Or are you going to do that on the apron?
We're on the cusp on that. We're not sure exactly which way we want to go yet. So.
Well, if you put it on the apron, you have to protect the fire trucks out anyway.
Yes.
So there are shades back there that are very cumbersome and hard to put up. There are some other shades around it that some of us have that you're welcome to use.
I think we prefer inside, but Lauren and I have been talking about it. We haven't got it all nailed down yet.
Okay.
So,
what is it?
15th of June. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Let's do. Let's draft a resolution for the paramedics. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to, as much as possible, hire a paramedic to serve as part of the severity patrol. Is that what I understand? And that paramedic will need to have a drill box, which for the Walker Fire Protection Association, which we maintained at Steve Nathanson's house.
So
the motion needs to be the expense of the money. Is it outside the budget?
Of course.
Okay. And it's for next, some of it will be into the next year's budget. Okay. So the WFPA authorizes Steve Nathanson to act on our behalf to lease and store a what's commonly called a drug box. just referred to? A paramedic drug box, right?
Correct. It should be $350 for it.
Okay.
Is that for a year?
Like an annual lease or?
Every year.
Okay. Plus the cost of whatever drugs are used. That covers the drugs. Okay. So the resolution is the WFMP authorizes Steve Nathanson to act as our, on our behalf to lease and store a paramedic drug box.
Instead of store, just administer.
Administer.
Just put a secure area. I will be the administrator of.
Just leave it in the elevator.
To lease and administer a paramedic drug box, which will be stored in a secure location, right?
Correct.
And further, we resolve to hire and pay for
additional amount to have paramedic.
To have paramedics ride along on there.
Okay, the WFPA authorizes the fire chief to hire on a part-time basis paramedics, qualified paramedics.
That should take care of it. For a paramedic to come up to our area, he must be registered with the hospital as a working person.
Okay.
So you're qualified, and really should.
Okay.
But it has to be through YRMC.
Qualified paramedic with?
That is registered with YRMC. Because otherwise I cannot bring one up from Phoenix because the fact they're not registered with our medical director, Chris Lincoln.
Okay, with qualified paramedic registered with the YRMC.
YRMC.
Okay. To supplement severity patrols.
And here's a question.
All right, John, you have a question?
Is this paramedic that we're now going to be putting on the ride line, are they also firefighters?
That's
a given, right? Okay, because we haven't mentioned that.
The whole purpose when I spoke with the other agencies was to make sure as long as they are a firefighter,
right,
they can teach us training for anything that we want. It does not have to be limited to medical.
Gotcha.
It does not have to be limited to firefighting.
Okay. Yep.
This will eliminate any extra charges incurred by other departments that we might contract with to come out and do
it. There could be a little bit of a trade-off there.
Okay.
So we're going to get a nice trade-off.
All right, I got a question here. All right. Is each one of these paramedics going to be a W-2 person, or are we paying an agency? I mean, who
no,
we?
No, we're hiring them directly. They're W-2 employees.
Okay.
So Adam's going to have to set them up.
Yeah.
Just like severity patrol, though, right?
But we have this one, right? Yeah, no, we have this one.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
No. All right, so
I just want to make sure.
It just means it's not just $19, though. Now it's workman's comp. It's da-da-da-da.
Yeah, well, but they would have the workman's comp anyway, even if they're volunteering. Okay, now the other caveat is that they're qualified firefighters as well.
That's right.
I would definitely say they are qualified firefighters.
They need
because
to be.
If we went and got one from Lifeline, they're great as a paramedic,
but not as a firefighter.
Not help us
right.
In a situation where we want fire protection
right.
And an extra ride.
Yeah, we don't want to decrease that level of protection,
no.
But we want to kind of go along with what you want.
So these are qualified wildland firefighters or just firefighters?
Firefighters.
I think a firefighter.
Slash paramedic.
Let's not box it in too much.
Right.
Okay. A qualified firefighter, paramedic, slash paramedic, registered with the RMC. YRMC. Why I guess that Y is too far away. YRMC to supplement severity patrols for
the fire season.
The Walker Fire Department. Okay.
That's good.
We need to, do we need to put parameters on that for the fire season or from dust to dust?
Well, you already mentioned the severity patrols. So
okay.
Okay.
So the resolution would be the WFPA authorizes Steve Nathanson to act on our behalf to lease and administer paramedic drug box, which will be secured in a safe location. the WFCA authorizes the fire chief to hire on a part-time basis qualified firefighter paramedics registered with the YRMC to supplement severity patrols for the WFC.
Yep.
Do I have a motion?
Man, I saw that coming. Could unfold my hands back.
Second.
Great. Second.
We're all blanked for the bathroom. Vic could say, I'll post.
Where'd Vic go?
I think he knew there was a vote coming up.
All in favor. Okay. I'm going to write this up in a resolution form.
I'd like to say something real quick. On the medical and the survey, Steve, thank you very much for coordinating. I think this could be huge because, you know, net for the department, we're going to start off with something that in concept the community's wanted for a long time. This could be a huge win for us. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll leave you a copy. This is Nick. But do not pay it until I get my verbal approval or written thing from the
You control your payment. You tell Vic when you're
going to be happy to.
There he is, right here.
All right, Vic, you vote A or A for the.
Don't pay that until I.
All right. Yes. No. Recognize volunteers. I want to recognize Lanny.
Lonnie.
L A N I. I don't know who you're talking. Yeah, no, Lonnie. Thanks, Steve. For your help.
Yeah,
and don't lie.
I will
see
the newsletter. For
the newsletter. Sure. Okay. The next is the Articles of Incorporation. All right. I've been mailing these to you. You know, they were drafted by Whittington. They were simplified. And basically, I use the word boilerplate. It makes Whittington's flinch, but it's basically the what standard Articles of Incorporation for nonprofits. I don't have a copy of it with you.
I've got two copies.
Yeah, okay. But you've seen it. You've seen it a dozen times.
Yeah, I have seen it.
Okay. What I did do was I asked them to add a requirement that any changes to the articles, bylaws, and a voluntary dissolution of the corporation has to be done by action of the board and vote of the membership by 2/3 majorities. So that these things can't be just changed willy-nilly all along. It was one of the requirements that was in there. The most recent version of this that you have includes those paragraphs. It's lawyerese paragraphs, but it does say that to change articles and bylaws and to dissolve the corporation. Because, in theory, a board could dissolve Walker WFPA just by action of the board. And given that we've had rogue boards in the past, some people think this is a rogue board. It makes it a requirement that to be 2/3.
Well, what is it now?
There is no requirement. It's just what state statute would require.
What is it?
Which would be the board could make all these changes. The current bylaws require 2/3. Our current articles require a 2/3 membership vote. But in the normal circumstance with a nonprofit, that requirement isn't necessarily in there all the time.
I'm confused, I got to say.
Yeah, I am too, and I look at the. Okay. We had this discussion when we went down this road with Whittington, finalizing these in a very, very simplistic manner to satisfy the needs of the organization as well as the state statutes, and I for one see the dissolution as a political thing that we're adding into this, and I know there's people here in this committee maybe feeling still a little paranoid about this, but we have motored through years without having anything to do with this in our articles. We have this in our bylaws. I don't understand why we need this in our articles. To me, it's a redundancy, first of all. Secondly, I think it's a political thing that we're really past this. And if we think that we're going to be protecting our association because we're actually including this in the articles, I think it's wishful thinking. You've got this in the bylaws. You need a 2/3 vote in the bylaws. Why do we need this in the articles? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Greg?
Well, same question. Is it in the bylaws? If it's in the bylaws, which I think it is, why do we need to have it back in the articles? The bylaws, by definition, require the two-thirds, so that's going to occur through the bylaws. The concept in the articles is keeping sweet and simple. And
my answer to the question about that requirement being in the articles is that if you have to have a two-thirds vote to pass this, to make any changes in the articles, or we will stay with the articles that we have now, which are insufficient. We believe, have been told by Whittington, are insufficient.
The restated ones?
No. The ones, not these, the ones that we're operating under now have deficiencies, according to Whittington, that they tried to change or protect in the bylaws. But these articles need to contain this language that Whittington has presented. These articles took out all of the other onerous language that was there before and made it simple. But there is a segment of this community that will not approve a change unless it protects the rights of the membership to keep changes from happening or have some control over these changes. And that's the two-thirds vote. If it's an issue that everybody is in tune with and agreed with, if these changes can be made in the future, it makes it more difficult to make changes, for sure. But it doesn't allow the board, by putting it in the articles, it doesn't allow the board to make those changes willy-nilly. They have to come to the membership to make changes.
Right, and the two-thirds is fine, but I think when we get down to the dissolution, wasn't that covered in the bylaws? The two-thirds in the articles is fine, right, to change the articles.
Right. Okay, the dissolution was never covered anyplace. It was just one of those things that sits out there. It's never addressed. It says that if you dissolve, this is how you distribute the assets. It doesn't say how you dissolve. There's involuntary dissolution. That's done when you don't make your annual reports, or you have some court action, or you have some outside influence. It says
inactivity.
Inactivity, whatever it happens to be, they come to you and say, okay, your corporation is dissolved. But a voluntary dissolution, whatever the how they pronounce it, is done by action of the board of directors. And a board of directors could sit down and say, we don't want to be a volunteer fire department anymore. We don't want to be an association anymore, and then dissolve the corporation. It's just that simple. It's in the state statute that the board of directors can do that, unless it's prohibited in the articles.
I still don't personally, I had to talk with Bill about this a while back, and frankly, he threw it out because it was a political thing. It isn't really something that you need in the article. I understand your argument.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that as far as I'm concerned, this is not something that I would be in favor of voting on, because I don't see, there was a period of time when we had a lot of, whatever you want to call it, acrimony here, and I think that some people thought, people can take over the board and we're just going to move this thing out, and we're going to get a fire district here at the size of a postage stamp, and, I think those days are gone, and can you predict in the future, through a crystal ball, what's going to happen here? No. Will something change in the future? I'm sure it will, but I don't think that us putting this into the articles is a necessary action at this particular point in time. I think to me, it's just wishful thinking that you're going to hold on to something that maybe you really don't have a hold of.
Dick?
I have to agree with Chuck on this one. I don't really understand the history of this, so I'm just looking at it with fresh set eyes, where we are today, and adding another layer that could be taken as a move to whatever the neuroses are of the day in Walker. If there's not a specific, I just don't see it as an issue, and by adding it, it creates an issue.
Yeah.
John?
I don't know what added in, but You know, I guess my thought is there a place that this verbiage is supposed to be? If it's supposed to be in the article and not in the bylaws, then fine, let's put it there. I mean, if it needs to be in one rather than the other, that's more appropriate, that's fine. If it's redundant, I'm fine with that too. Because it already states this elsewhere, correct? In the bylaws?
It should be in the bylaws.
Yeah, so I mean,
the dissolution part is not addressed in the bylaws.
Okay. So, I mean, if it either adds a layer of protection or really is innocuous, I mean, I'm fine with it. We love redundancy here. I'm fine with it. I don't know that it necessarily would add any hard feelings on the part of the community. It's already basically stated in the bylaws, right? I mean, that's my thought. I'm for more protection, I guess, especially if it costs us next to nothing. But if you think it's going to cost us in goodwill, then I guess that's an issue.
I think it's going to cost us some goodwill.
Okay, so what your objections to having this two-thirds requirement is, what does it hurt to have this two-thirds requirement in the article?
My objection is that it is not a requirement for articles of incorporation. The articles of incorporation, as Mr. Whittington put them in initially, and you asked him to add this on the last go-round on this, this is strictly, in my take, and I've been here a number of years, and I have seen what's going on with this board. I've been on boards that have been very controversial, and we still manage to feather our way through that whole thing without having a layer of political stuff in the articles of corporation. If you want to put this in the bylaws, if it's not already in the bylaws, and I thought it was, but really, I didn't think it was in the bylaws. I'm looking for the bylaws, and I can't find it. But I see no actual purpose for this being in our articles of incorporation. I just think it's a layer that is, I think it will cost us goodwill, personally. My thought.
Let me just throw out one more thing. Are we addressing this now so that you go to the membership in the May meeting?
Correct.
Can we table this till May? Because, frankly, I would like to have more discussion between us all here because I think, I guess my big problem, I've read it, but I don't really understand the ramifications one way or the other. I mean, I understand it, but I think we should do what's typical of a set of articles in a corporation, not building them based on what might happen by a rogue anybody.
I think the fact that all of us are sitting around the table scratching our heads regarding the bylaws and the verbiage in them requires us to kick it off until the next board meeting. Here's the thing is that I think the idea was if we were in agreement, it would be nice to have them posted in the newsletter so the community could get them and absorb them before, unfortunately, the table. And that's not going to happen. But what we can do is we can accomplish that through an email and then having circulars take a look. And I think it gives, I don't think there's an objection on the two-thirds. I think everyone's fine with the two-thirds because that gives the authority and the power to the membership, not a rogue board, not six people or some people sitting on the table. I think what's the consternation is the dissolution comment in the articles. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because otherwise it's two-thirds. I think that we can settle in the next 3 or 4 weeks just as a board.
Could I make an additional suggestion to that, because I agree with Greg, would be that you just write a couple paragraphs of why you think it should be, and Chuck, if you could write a couple paragraphs of why you think it shouldn't be, so that we have the time to go back and read the actual bylaws
right,
to determine for ourselves whether it's a good move.
Right.
In other words, I hear you. Everything sounds great when people talk, but until you really get into the details, we're not doing it justice voting on it right now.
And here's the other thing. If it's in the bylaws in one version or another, maybe not specifically to that nuance, then there's a whole there's the polishing of the bylaws that we've got to go through as well, right? So I think we get the articles done simply, and then we move to the bylaws.
I'm just reading the bylaws right now. Upon dissolution of the association, the board of directors shall, after paying, making provision of payment, all the liabilities, blah, 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 blah.
No, but what Bill is saying, that explains the process by
the process
which
after.
Right. After you're dissolved, that's what the process is.
Okay.
And in my discussions with Savala about this, he thought it was a good idea to include the dissolution because it was something that was missed in all the other communications. So we need to, when's the newsletter going to go?
It's going to go out
Monday?
Next week.
Yeah, next week?
Probably not Monday now because I'm still waiting for articles.
Okay, so the 15th, so will we...
It will go out with the required...
The week of the 15th. Yeah, okay. So in order for us to come to a decision and have this added into the newsletter so you have a 30-day review by the membership, we the board, needs to make a decision about whether or not you're going to do this or not. So the question is the question about the two-thirds for bylaws and articles, it's only about the question about dissolution, about the dissolving the corporation.
Yeah, because you basically have the same thing in Article 8, and then you went ahead and added Article 10 that says we can voluntarily dissolve by two-thirds vote, right?
Right, because it's a different action.
I understand that. I just don't understand the action.
Okay. All right. So Vic's suggestion is that we communicate with each other, make your position. We say by midweek Tuesday have come to a decision about whether or not we're going to keep the dissolution paragraph on there.
I'd vote on it right now.
Okay.
I don't want it. I just
right, but the idea is to present to the community for a vote a set of bylaws, changed articles that has some chance of passing at the annual meeting.
I'll be happy to write two sentences on this. Did you put this in here because you felt it was important, or you put this in here because it was supposed to be in here? Because that's where I'm getting confused.
Okay.
I put that in there because when I was reading through the articles and the what happens in, earlier in the articles, what happens upon dissolution, and then I looked and saw how can it be dissolved. Involuntary dissolution or dissolution comes from outside sources, courts, Arizona Corporation Commission, or some other external force that says you're no longer a corporation. If we voluntarily dissolve, somebody wants to dissolve this corporation and then go through those steps, all it takes is board action. That any board, we could sit here right now and say, you could move, I move that we dissolve the WFPA. The board then could say, yeah, that's a good idea. And you're done.
I think we understand all that. I think what we should do is just go ahead and review it, go through it next week, pick a date for review. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, if the dissolution isn't addressed specifically in the new articles, as a board member, think about this. Okay, let's assume we're one of us or all of us are rogue board members. You can face an immediate lawsuit, right, by trying to dissolve the fire department, and the insurance wouldn't cover us. That would be a board issue. So I don't know that it needs to be in there, but like I said, I would like to take a look at the bylaws and, in its entirety, the new version.
Okay. Well, do you have time until Wednesday?
I do.
Okay. So let's do this by Tuesday night or Wednesday. You want to talk to Whittington about it? That's fine.
Okay.
I talked to Savala about it. He thought it was a good idea. I'll give you a paragraph again. I'm just going to repeat what I just said.
Let's try and keep the attorneys out of it for the moment. As the treasurer.
Unless it's pro bono.
Unless it's pro bono, yeah. Chuck, let me just ask you one question. You made the statement that Whittington indicated that he felt it wasn't necessary and that it was political, or what would...
What he and I had discussed before this going, we gave him these news articles to go through, review, and restate. And what he did was review and restate them. And he said, There is a lot of stuff in there that didn't belong in there because it's not state statute stuff. It's political by nature. He pulled that out. He said, if you want to put that in there in the bylaws, that's where it belongs. This set of documents right here should be as structured as possible for the state statute, so you don't have to go out and reprint these things all the time. This is an expensive fix. This is not, there should be no political stuff in this, and I look at Article 10 as a political thing. We're assuming that somebody's going to come along here, and we're not members of the board, and they're going to say, oh, we want to dissolve this thing, and we're going to take two-thirds of it, and done. Oh, no, you can't do it because you got two-thirds. You know, I just don't see that. And go ahead.
I'll just throw this out real quick. I mean, I'm anxious to table this right now. Can we throw this one sentence about the dissolution process? I'm sorry, not the process, but actually dissolving. Can we throw that into the bylaws this year, just to appease?
Yeah, you can. If you can actually make your motion to change the articles, absent this last paragraph about dissolution. And if you want to pass that today, then we're done.
Now, I'd rather see you guys state your positions because.
Mine's pretty clear.
Yeah, yours is very clear. I guess, really, Bill, it's your position I would like to hear is why you feel it's necessary. I mean, I heard you, but I think I would like to go back and look at the bylaws myself.
Yeah.
In light of what you state.
Okay, that's fine. Then we'll take a poll, and you want to make a resolution that poll will be adequate for passing this to post these things forward as you're going to pay.
That's fine.
Or you can move to accept these articles as presented with the exception of the...
We still have May's meeting before the...
But you want to need 30 days to notify the community that they have this to vote on.
So if we can get
and that's going to be going out.
By Wednesday we can get a handle on it. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to agree to have an email vote on this by Tuesday evening or Wednesday. By Wednesday. Okay.
All right.
Wow. Newsletter.
The update on the newsletter is one. The newsletter in the spring is obviously time sensitive because of the vote. It's got to be sent out 30 days before with the entirety of the contents. We just talked about the article amendment. Timing is okay as long as we get the remainder of the articles. Russ did forward over an email and a mailing list, so I'll need to go through that the early part of next week, and then we'll add whatever version we approve on the article amendment. We have four advertisers. I think it's $450 that we got on that thing. So that's a nice adjustment. Other than that, content is FireWise and the typical reports that we have, and then as well for current and future events with the FDA.
Do you have the stuff that you need to print now? I mean, you're still lacking some stuff?
No, I've got, I believe, three articles left. So,
okay.
And then I've got to proof everything.
You got mine.
I did.
Three articles you're writing or that you're just waiting for?
Waiting for.
I gotcha. Right.
Okay. All right. The annual meeting, it's May 25th. The announcement has to be out 30 days before. Maybe we'll post one on this on the bulletin board, and we'll use the mailing to the known ownership. So that's happening. Anything about the annual meeting?
9 a.m. till whatever
lunch
with the potluck.
With the potluck.
Anything else?
Who's going to count ballots? Do we need to get into
that?
Oh,
yeah.
What's that?
Who did we do that last year?
I did.
Well, you can this year because you're
well, that's what I asked last time. I didn't think I should be able to or would want to.
Yeah. Great. We'll figure it out. Okay, we'll form a committee.
You, then you can run. That would lock you
there
in.
There we go.
Then you couldn't be nominated for the floor. You know?
Right. We'll work on making a... Well, the nominating committee actually has been... responsible for doing the ballot counting and forming your committee, so you guys get yourself a committee and present it to us next May.
All right. I've got any retailers. We had four people last time.
Okay.
Four people and an overseer.
The secretary will oversee.
Okay. So you want to have all right, have Russ do it then?
Yeah, the secretary can be, he's the official counter anyway.
All right, fair enough. We'll have Russ do it, and we'll just give him four people to work with and have him pick four people. And,
okay.
Right.
Okay, and the election, the same thing. EPA.
Okay. EPA. From the junction at Pine Mountain and Sheldon.
Along this short arc to the mine tailings over on Eagle and Walker.
I provided them, and once again, I was telling you guys at the executive, Laura and I have broke down this map into five sections. So I provided, they asked me for people to mail to. So I gave them sections 2, 3, and 5. One is the northern section, which really isn't going to be affected too much. Four is potato batch, big bug, and that's really not going to be affected too much. So they use that to put out this mailer, and they mailed it to hundreds of people in the community. So it's a traffic control plan, which they finally got approved. It's been playing around. The county had to go through it. Been in touch with the county, got all the holes patched in the Walker Road before the trucks are going to come in and tear it apart. Right now, the structure is laid out, and Mr. Shane will be here tomorrow afternoon, and we're going to be meeting tomorrow afternoon. Right now, they got a plan for a flagger over here, a flagger over here, a flagger down here, and a flagger up here. And a flagger back here, which could be a real problem. We got it 100 feet back from the mailbox turnout, and they're going to stop cars on that Walker Road there waiting for dump trucks to come from the south to the north. I'm like, how are you going to get dump trucks past a whole of cars that are stopped on a one-lane road? So there's issues to work out. They wanted to do away with the flagger over here, and I said, I think you're making a big mistake, because this flagger is going to be controlling everybody coming from Sheldon, from Pine Mountain, and all that area over in that area. So he's working with us, but it's going to be a work in progress. The control traffic people don't want to put the flagger there because it's an extra cost for them. And I thought, well, I don't care what it's an extra cost. So several monkey wrenches are in the works. We're putting together FireWise. FireWise, we're going to line this area. They already moved the grader. We're going to line this area with wood and slash. We want to have a dumpster for needles and leaves. We're going to put that out here. Well, they're buying effluent from the county, which they were going to put a banker tank out in this area. Well, they don't have an area over there for a banker tank. So he contacted Roger and said, well, we could put the banker tank here in the parking lot.
A wet tank?
A banker, a 20,000-gallon tank. So the trucks can drive in, load up with water, go off to the site. So that's why we're meeting here tomorrow, to find out, can we actually do that? And if we do that here, where are we going to put that? And if we put that here, where are we going to put our leaf and needle dumpster? We thought about putting it over there. The suggestion we could put this at Pink Car Road, put the tank at Pink Car Road and let them turn around there. Or put the banker tank over here at the area where the mailbox is, because the truck's got to drive in, load up with water, and go back.
That might not be a bad. What would the county say about putting that dumpster on top of the leach field over there? You can't drive on it. They don't want you driving on it. But that might not be a bad place to put it with.
Well, over here?
Yeah.
Just for needles.
Needles, you got to put your dumpster on top of the leach field.
But the problem with the dumpster.
What's the weight of the?
I don't know what the requirement is from the county.
But the problem with the dumpster on this location over here is that when you roll it off, the doors face that way, not this way.
Okay.
Because when people pull up there, you know what they're going to do. They're going to get up and drop it right there and leave.
If
the doors are facing them, they'll put it in there. If they're not going to walk around.
Right.
So you know, that's a little bit of an issue. So we've run into a couple of things that are really kind of a problem. Everything has been going real well on announcement. We've had three announcements go out on the website. We do have now a hotline that I'm going to post on the website and send out an email that will go directly to the trailer. So that one is, and I'll tell you what it is right now if you want to know it. It's going to be a 771-0270. 771-0270.
Got to publish that on the website. 928.
And so
another possibility, real quick,
yeah,
is if that dumpster, if they can load it backwards.
That's what I was thinking.
They can't because of the way they
jump.
Yeah. The way they pull it up?
The way they pull it
up. The cable snags on the thing. It's a one deal.
One way.
Chuck, another thing. This could be coinciding when Big Bug's getting re-graveled, too, which they add another few hundred dump trucks on the road.
Oh, is that happening? Is this summer?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But we don't know when. I haven't asked Mark.
I just talked to Mark about it. It's going to happen. The question is to what degree. The sequester. The sequester has affected the fund.
Well, let me tell you what I know about this, okay? What I know about this is they will be working 6 days a week, 7:30 to 5:30. Okay? They're not going to work on Sunday.
Right.
It will impact the people wanting to get to Big Bug. There's no question about it. They're going to go to their conference Fridays and Saturdays to get there. You know, now what they've told me is, heard through the grapevine, well, we're only going to run dump trucks for 20 days out of the 6 weeks. Well, that's good news. I don't know how that works.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
That's 3 weeks.
Yeah. So we don't know. So here's the schedule right now. He's going to be here tomorrow. Roger and I and Laura are going to meet with him here in the parking lot and try and figure out how the hell we're going to do this with this water tank or where it's going to go. Then on Monday, they're going to start hauling their heavy equipment into the site over here and to put that in place. The first thing on their agenda is to get back up Walker Road to the borough park over there by Lynx Lake. There's a little dirt road between Lynx Lake Restaurant and the historical thing. It goes down into that, and they want to get in there and blade that thing off so they can get their trucks in and out of there. So that's their first item of agenda on the agenda. Next thing will then be getting all their heavy equipment over here, and they're digging out this whole site, and they're going to rim the whole site with the French drain and direct that to Walker Road. At near the last part of the 6 weeks, they're going to cut across here, close Walker Road for about 6, 7, 8 hours. Put in a culvert. So, and one of the good news things I did hear, though, is that they are going to be out here, and I think tomorrow or Monday, and they are going to videotape with the county on the road prior to their hauling, and then they're going to videotape the road after the hauling. Because I talked to Joe Hewitt from the county, and he goes, well, we're hoping that the EPA is going to have extra money to fix that road. And the EPA is going, we're hoping the county can, you know, because...
That's a good thing they didn't do this before they repaved the road.
Yeah. And so and chances are the road will get repaired, but the good chance it's going to get beat. Crap feed out of it, too. So right now, a lot of people have this. They've got a lot of information on the website. I think Bill Monroe from the KPPV station here is going to be interviewing Dan Shank from the EPA. I put it on the radio. We're getting as much coverage as we possibly can get. Part of the problems are going to be people who live along Walker Road here because you've got to wait for pilot cars to come. And where the hell we're going to put this water tank and how that's all going to influence here. I cannot fathom how they would back up vehicles on Walker Road here and wait for dump trucks to pass them going this way. I can't. Yes.
I got a question.
Yes.
Say we get an incident up here, medical or fire, who's the communications person that we have to talk to in order to get
We've got all
those. I think that you'll take precedent.
Have all the people, listed phone numbers and everything right here. Roger's involved.
It won't be a one-car. One car won't be a problem past each other. It's the mass of cars that are going, you know. So if you have an emergency, you'll go.
Yeah.
And you know, even if you run into a string of cars coming the opposite direction, you'll be able to get around them because there's going to get by them. It'll be slower, but you respond.
Initially, they wanted to use Sheldon as an alternate, and the county said absolutely not. So when we'll see.
Fire department.
It's off the map. It's up
oh, it is.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Up here. So yeah. How far down is this then?
This is a mile. It's about a mile.
Okay. So this is where. So the fire department is off map.
It's up here.
How far down? I have to point the right direction. How far down is this? Down to the eagle. I've never seen it.
Well, it's about a mile.
2 miles.
Well,
well,
not from here.
A mile and a half.
Well, a mile and a half.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
You got to go see what your community looks like.
Yeah, I tried getting the potato patch once.
I didn't bail out of drive
okay.
On the road.
So, all right, so the EPA is going to be, you're dealing with that, the water. I'll check with the county. Maybe you can put that water tank up there.
Cool. Well, that's what they can't do. You've got to pull the truck in and load gears. I don't know.
Those guys are big guys. They can back those trucks.
They talked about that initially.
They don't like it. They want to pull through.
They're spoiled.
This is the second
this
part.
This is the mountain. Okay. Okay, let's go.
All right. Well, the thing that I haven't heard about is the removal of the contaminants that are there, and I thought, well...
They're not removing them. They're covering them.
They said they're removing them.
Where the hell are they going to take them?
That's right. Yeah.
I am wondering what they're going to do. They're going to use that.
I know you're big on the environment thing, but... They're taking, you know, this is a runoff that runs into the stream and goes down there, and they have sediment down there. They're collecting sediment out of the stream, and they're going to bring that sediment back up here and cover it. So I ask them, how can that be if this is so pollution, if it's so polluting?
Yeah.
How in the world can you bring the sediment back up? He says, it's not that bad.
A little bit of the answer.
Not that bad. They're just minute particles are getting into the stream down there.
All right.
Okay. Down there, but it's coming from up here. I mean, so they're bringing it back.
Well, you know what they call that in water when they do water treatment?
Mm-hmm.
It's called blending. You take the shitty water.
Oh, right.
You take the bad water.
Right. Right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So that's fine. Repeaterly, Keith Davis has sold his property or he is in a contract. I'm talking to the realtor. Everybody's in agreement that they're going to give us a 10-year lease. I use the same lease as we used with Mark Heron. With the changes, you know, with they don't have to provide power or utilities. But that's in the works now. That just happened the day before yesterday. And we should be having the lease for the repeater and put it in there. Okay, now you wanted to talk about the potato patch building?
Yes, I spoke with Kurt Bowser, and it's a little bit of a nightmare. They did get those people who were opposing the station there, two entities, and they filed suit against the because Kurt wanted to change the bylaws, HOA laws around, on the potato patch HOA so that they could actually put that in there. And they stopped them from doing that. And then they went back and looked at the past election process and said, oh, by the way, you didn't do that election process correctly, so you're technically not the president of this HOA, and we need to have this re-voted on so that you can do this, and if you want to do this, so they have to have it. So nothing is going to happen until September. They have to go back to their association and do the whole thing over.
All right, nothing's easy, and so, you know, the animosity moved uphill.
It's still in favor of it.
Okay. Any new business?
God, no.
All right. Any announcements, community announcements? Pete?
Don't say a word.
Or you know, this is just announcements. This isn't forum.
Okay. Announcement in less than an hour and a half, the dance will be happening here at the fire station today.
Oh, boy.
2 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So, these gentlemen... I know Larry's come in to help move the trucks, and Gene's going to be helping move the trucks in and back in, out and back in, right?
Yeah.
Out and back in.
You move them out.
Not in the same movement.
Not in the same movement.
Yeah. Out,
so,
pause, back in.
So. Okay. Public forum, anybody have anything to say? Anything about what do you want to see them?
The park, all this stuff coming up. What are you going to do with the gold diggers?
Mm-hmm. Did you... Were you here when we were talking about we're going to put signs up WFPA parking lot?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay,
because
yeah,
right. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Because I've caught people parking in front.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've caught them using their Wi-Fis at the pump house.
Yep.
Well, I think
they're really abusing it, getting a lot more trash.
Yeah, a lot more trash. You're right.
Well, the Wi-Fi thing, I don't think you can control. We've thrown that out anyway.
Once it pulls back, I mean,
yeah, I don't know how far it goes. I don't know what.
I've run a couple of over there too.
Yeah.
But the issue comes, we discussed this in the executive, and I really think we're looking at getting signs, and we should have some muscle. You can't just put the signs out there and don't do anything. If the signs are there, call the sheriff.
Okay, anything else?
I've got an update. Walker Day? Do you want to hear about that or not necessarily?
No.
Not really? No, all right.
Walker Day is going to happen, right?
Everything's going to happen.
Bingo starts, pancake, Brady.
Yep.
Breakfast starts.
All these things are happening.
The key club's not coming, so I'm going to need some help doing the pancake breakfast. But they have too many conflicts. They have band conflicts and all kinds of stuff, so the kids.
Do you want to put that on the web? Just ask Chris to put it out there.
I'll do it.
Okay.
For pancake day. But bingo is next week. And there we go. Anything else?
We're working Chris to death.
That's right. That's what he volunteers for.
Yeah,
motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Next on the move, John O. Second.
You'll see that minute after minute. Greg Stava, a jerk.
These are quick meetings. I mean, an hour and a half. That's great.
Well, we had the discussion with the article that
right.
Okay.
Fidelity.
All right. So here we go with.